you mentioned Kiku. She obviously is off, is introduced very early on and is the I guess the mistress and brought in from a, I guess a brothel's not too.
No, it was a brothel.
Brought in into this life and to Bliss House and is introduced to some of the, I guess maybe the darker sides of the house, and I guess by extension of Randolph.
Yes.
And how he sees women and treats.
Yes.
Treats them.
Randolph treats women badly.
Okay, that's not giving anything away.
That's not giving anything away. I got to say, the Bliss House men are not sterling characters. I don't know why it worked out that way, but it just did.
Now, you alluded to the fact that there may be ghosts involved. I would say there definitely are.
Yes.
An energy in the house.
No, but not quite as many in this mm-hmm. book, because it is an origin story. You know, this is the book that comes before Charlotte's story and before Bliss House, which was the first book. And so it's not that it's backstory, it's its own novel, but it doesn't have quite as many hauntings, because it's the beginning of the hauntings of the house.
Mm-hmm. As the story goes, we learn really about, I guess you could call Randolph kind of a control freak.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would be too strong a word, and that plays out.
Maybe a sociopath.
I wasn't going to say that, but...
It's okay. It's okay. You know, I created him, but I understand him.
He definitely is very controlling and likes to play his games his way, and obviously that does have the impact on the other lives in the story. I want to ask you about something. I recently had a chance to talk with Sandra Brown on her latest book, and she writes some kind of twisted thrillers. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, so one particular character in her latest book is wrist really twisted and messed up? I said, so did you know where this character was going before you started? And she said something that was, I thought was really kind of interesting. She said, no, not really. He told me where we were going as we were writing the story. In your writing, do the characters tend to drive where they're going, or do you kind of know where they're going? Because some of these folks have some just issues.
Well, it's kind of both. You know, in this book, I knew what Randolph was from the very beginning when I wrote the first book several years ago, you know, 5 years ago. And I never know exactly how a character is going to react in a situation. And one of the things when you have violent activity, you know, I mean, and you have people who are a little twisted, a little violent, they're going to have a huge effect on the people around them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Randolph, I did have a hard time finding kindness in Randolph. And it's there. And if you look for it in the book, you know, he kind of surprised me sometimes with tenderness. And I like that. I like to be surprised by a character, you know, that when they come out and say, oh, and I'm like, oh, okay, good, thank you. I feel like it's a kind of gift. But no, I don't, you know, I just sort of wind them up and let them go. But as I said, Randolph, he was pretty predetermined that he was not going to be a good guy.
Amelia has an interesting, seems to play an interesting role in this. I kind of feel sorry for her in a lot of ways. And she has her influence as well in the craziness that goes on in Bliss House. Did she know what she was getting into, do you think?
So Amelia, his first wife, again, she was getting away from repressive parents. I am not talking about my own parents. I want to make that clear. I had great parents. I had a great childhood. But yes, Amelia had very strange parents. And she was older when she married. And, you know, they wanted to get her. So she's older. They wanted to kind of get her out of the house. She wanted to get away. And I think the thing about Randolph and these women, particularly in, you know, Victorian society, is they were looking for a little fun. You know, they were looking for a little freedom, a little fun, and that's something that Randolph offers. Mm-hmm. You know, he offers financial freedom. He offers freedom from convention. And I think that is something that not so much Amelia, but Lucy was really looking for, that mm-hmm. freedom from convention.
Mm-hmm. The location, Oldgate, Virginia, that you have set this story in, how would the local Chamber of Commerce in the 1800s describe Oldgate?
A great town to raise a family in. You know, I mean, it's old Virginia. Mm-hmm. I adore Virginia. We moved to Southern Illinois from Virginia, and I fell in love with the state. We lived there for 8 years, and there's something classic is such a dopey word, but the sense of tradition there, mm-hmm. the sense that they kind of know how to do it. You know, when you live in Oldgate, there's a very strong mentality that you kind of follow the rules and you don't spread the secrets very wide. There are a lot of secrets in Oldgate, and Randolph kind of exploits that. Randolph brings that sense of, I don't want to say adventure, but that sense of boundary pushing to the people in a very tradition-bound society.
He was kind of warned off about coming to Oldgate.
He was in the very beginning. Well, and even not so much warned away from Oldgate. I think they kind of, you know, the women, of course, thought he was very charming. And that's the thing about Randolph. He's extremely charming. But, you know, we find out early on that this land that he has bought is land that has not been able to sustain a house, family, bad things happen there. And he should maybe look somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked quite a bit about the story. Is there a passage or two or section that you would like to share?
Oh, I would love to. In fact, you know, we talked about Lucy, mm-hmm. and you know, it's a tie. It's like having children. I can't choose between my characters, but I do. I love Kiku. I love Lucy, but I also love Amelia. But I'll read something. The opening when we meet Lucy, and this is actually it's set in on Walpurgisnacht in 1924. So at the very beginning of the book, you see what happens to Lucy, or you get a hint. You don't find out exactly till the end what happens, but we find out what has brought her to this place. So this is actually chapter one after the prologue, in which we find out that Randolph comes here. Lucy Bliss ran blindly through the moonlit rose garden, thorns grabbing at her as though they would keep her from leaving. As she reached the break in the garden wall that would lead her to the woods, her robe tangled on the last bush, so she tore it from her body with a cry and left it behind. Was someone following? Surely Randolph, who was as frail as a man risen from a grave of 5 years, could not capture her. My husband, risen from his grave. So much is explained. The voices in the night, the light near the spring house. How did I not see? Above the trees, the distant lights of Oldgate shone silver on the scattered clouds. Only 25 years earlier, before she had married Randolph in 1899, there had been but a dozen gas street lamps in town, and the night sky had looked endless and cluttered with stars. How different it had been. Walking with her friends to the little theater or home from a party, her laughing voice louder than she knew was proper. But she hadn't cared. She had been cheerfully rebellious, happy to disregard her mother's constant instructions about minding her behavior and her father's lectures from both his Episcopal pulpit and the dinner table. Though they were rigid people and difficult to love, she had loved them both and had obeyed, to a point. Few things were ever serious to her in those days. It had all been in fun. Bright. Her life had been so wonderfully bright. Now she was well into her 40s, and her life had dimmed. Her feet were bare, tender from running over the crushed shells on the winding garden paths beside Bliss House, and her breath came in bursts. From moment to moment, she wasn't sure if she were dreaming or not. Before she'd gone to bed, Terrence, who had run Bliss House for her these past few years and was no older than she, had given her the medicine that helped her feel calm, helped her forget. But she had terrible dreams and often woke to find that she had chewed the knuckle of her finger until it bled and there were tears on her cheeks. Now, dreaming or awake, she had fled the house, running, running. For months, she had been loath to walk outside, loath to leave her room. How she had run when she was a child, and when her son, Michael Searle, was young, they had run through the orchards together, playing and racing, far from Randolph's critical gaze. Michael Searle, my son, but more than a son, a gift. This very night he was on his way home from North Carolina, where he had been visiting the woman he would marry. She had to get somewhere safe to warn him before he arrived, never to return to Bliss House. Your father is alive. He will steal your happiness, my sweet child. The path into the woods was crowded with brush and newly red switches of wild blackberry, whose thorns were even more ambitious and brutal than those of the roses. She slowed. Her thin, torn gown was no protection from the cool night, and a layer of sweat caused her to shiver violently. Craving the former safety of her own bed within her flower-covered bedroom walls, she thought of sinking to the ground, nesting in the brambles like an animal. Still, she pushed deeper into the woods, even though no one seemed to be coming after her. Do they think I am weak, that I will come crawling back? As a girl, she had thought of Bliss House as a mysterious, magical place, all the more fascinating because her parents had told her to stay away. Now she knew every inch of its shining wood floors and paneled walls. She had danced in the ballroom dozens of times and hurried up and down the staircases 20 times a day and aired the rooms and watered flowers and written letters at her desk in the morning room and rocked her son to sleep and wiped his brow and entertained friends and listened to the bees drowsing over the roses and watched her husband, the man who had built Bliss House, go slowly mad. And she had lived in the presence of ghosts and had even ceased to be afraid of them. But if Randolph were alive, truly alive, she would have to live in fear. Again, it didn't matter if she were awake or dreaming. She would rather die than live with Randolph. Again. Ahead in the trees, there was a quivering light where there should not have been a light. Lucy glanced over her shoulder to make sure she hadn't gotten turned around, but there was Bliss House rising tall and threatening behind her, its windows glowing warmly as though it were still a safe place, a place where sometimes she was happy. Thank God Michael Searle is away. I will keep him safe. Yes, ahead of her was a light where there was supposed to be nothing, and desperation carried her toward it.
We learn more of the resolution. The story concludes in 1924 as well, and did Lucy find the light? Did she succeed in mastering the house?
Well, I think that would have to be up to the reader to decide. I don't really think that's for me to say. Is that fair?
I think so.
Because it's, you know, I don't... Okay. This could probably be on my gravestone. She didn't deal in happy endings. But, you know, life doesn't always have a happy ending, you know. But there is a resolution. There is a resolution. And Bliss House is full of ghosts. And that's all I'm going to say.
Fair enough.